All right, it's another Monday night, and you are in the zone here on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Dave and Glass with you again on another Monday night, and we are, as always, taking your phone calls at 333-2665 with you until 7:45 tonight as we take you in the zone to start and in the red zone starting at 7 o'clock, all leading you up until the broadcast, the national broadcast of Monday Night Football with Pittsburgh at San Diego tonight, kicking off just after 8:30. But plenty for us to talk about tonight as the baseball playoffs are well underway and starting to get interesting in the technically the first round after the wild card one game occurred. Great one this afternoon as Kansas City comes from behind to beat the Houston Astros, who thought they were closing out the series. But instead, they will head back to Kansas City and all kinds of games here today as Texas and Toronto are playing right now. And Toronto holds a 7-1 to lead in the middle of the sixth. But a lot of football to talk about. Also, of course, last Thursday, right here on WGCL, you heard the Colts win in Houston with Matt Hasselbeck playing. Not sure leading into the game who was going to be the quarterback. It ended up being Matt Hasselbeck, but Colts get out of that road trip with another victory and are 3-0 in the division, and thank God for the AFC South. But before we talk more Colts, we'll talk IU football, and they headed over to Penn State coming off a tight game at home against Ohio State. They go to Penn State, who has had some struggles this year, but their defense is very good. And suddenly, while a lot of people came out of the Ohio State game thinking it meant something bigger for IU because they played Ohio State close and what could this mean down the road, well, now they're without a quarterback and without a running back. Both Jordan Howard and Nate Sudfeld sat out the game in Penn State, and Glass, it sure showed on the offensive side of the ball as they struggled all day long. But I'll tell you what has bothered me the most. You hear me talk way too much about the nameless, faceless offensive line here on this show, any offensive line for that matter, and how important it is. And I don't give a lot of praise in that regards, but I have most of this season because I thought that IU offensive line before the Ohio State game had been truly a dominant offensive line. And I couldn't have said that in previous years. But the last 2 weeks, they've really got their butts kicked pretty darn good. It's two good defensive fronts they've played, Penn State and Ohio State. But it's surprising to me how quickly things have gone south here for this offense. It is only one game, but they didn't do what they had done all game long against Ohio State. They did get a big long Diamant run at the end of the game to get back in it. But something's going on with that offense, and I don't know if it's just losing Howard and Sudfeld. You hope getting one or both of them back solves it. I'm not sure that that's really the case right now. And I'm not sure if it's the Big Ten and just getting into better competition. I don't know where to go with this offense right now.
D, all the above. When your leader, and Sudfeld has been named that by most everybody that you talk to over there, when he goes down, you've got to find someone else to pick up the pieces and try and make it work, and it's hard to do because you've obviously, the offseason, once he finally got healthy, everything revolved around what he was going to do and how he was going to operate the offense and how he was going to take snaps and how he was going to make checks at the line and call plays and audibles and everything else. And when that goes out the window, well, you'd think, hey, we did this last year. Well, remember last year they weren't racking up a ton of points either, and that was with a first-round draft pick in their backfield. So you lose a quarterback and your best running back, so you add one more layer on top of it. And we always joke before the season starts, God, we'd love just to see it one time go 12 games to see what would happen if it all was healthy. And it's just Coach Wilson claims it's college football. It's just the nature of the beast, and it's hard to argue with. You saw teams even like Ohio State win a national championship last year when they had guys get crushed and injured and everything else, and it's part of the game. But how you react from it is the next step that this team has to do a better job of taking. And when you don't have perhaps maybe the depth at some of those spots you need, well, it shows, and it shows quickly. And Devine Redding's a nice running back, but he sure looks a lot better when Jordan Howard gets the majority of the carries. Mm-hmm. He's a nice second punch. And Xander Diamant can do some nice things. But remember, Penn State had all week to game plan against them. Ohio State had 2 minutes. There's a huge difference there. And people just say, well, how could you play like that against Ohio State but not play like that against Penn State? Well, it's simple. 6 days. That's your answer.
Well, let's be fair. He didn't play that well against Ohio State either.
But right. But
inflated
but every
long run.
But every angle, everything. Penn State had six or seven games last year of film to look at all week. Mm-hmm. And then they had the preparation from everything Indiana threw at them against Ohio State. They knew Diamant was coming. They prepared for it. They knew that perhaps Divine Redding was going to have the majority of the carries because of Jordan Howard's problem with his ankle. And they prepared for it. And guess what Penn State's strength is? It's their defense. Yeah. And that was the issue. And Indiana did nothing to make them uncomfortable. As you heard Coach Wilson say after the game, we didn't threaten them anywhere offensively. They didn't have anything to take away so they could really play straight up and get after it and pick and choose when they wanted to blitz, pick and choose when they wanted to run blitz, to do everything to throw the Hoosiers off balance. And they did. The game was on the road in a place they'd never won before. We knew all that going into it. That would have been a tough ask to do with everyone healthy, let alone having options 1 and 1A of your offensive game plan not take a single snap. So what do? Well, you put your nose to the grindstone, you practice harder, you got to play better, and you take your checklist out, Dave, and start eliminating things that are killing you. If penalties are killing you, well, you got to stop eliminating penalties. If bad decisions are happening, you got to find guys that play that make better decisions, because you can't fix a guy's ankle. I said last Monday, I didn't know what you guys talked about on Wednesday, I was at soccer. There's two things with an ankle. It's either hurt or it isn't.
Right.
And you saw the outcome of that on Saturday. Sadly, those things just don't heal that quickly. Mm-hmm. And again, why, the guys are on the sideline because you're hoping to give them some Penn State some kind of false positive that, hey, that could happen. That could be the deal. But when Diamant went down, you didn't even see Nate Sudfeld sprint over and start throwing. Yeah. He kind of just walked over,
right.
And then Nate Boudreau handed him a ball because Cameron's throwing it from the other end, and that told you everything you needed to know there. Howard came out, not even ankles taped for warm-up.
Yeah, that didn't have his helmet all day long.
When he came out for warm-ups with no ankles taped, when he got a bad ankle,
yeah.
That's when the whole Twitterverse blew up and said,
everybody knows.
He's probably not playing right. Today. So you have adversity. How do you overcome it? The adversity of the Ohio State game was also part of injury problems, because you knew when that ended that Sudfeld was gimpy. He was in a boot and could barely, I guess, walk around in the press conference after the Ohio State game. Howard was the same way. So you knew that was happening. But the one thing it exposed for Indiana is the depth at the quarterback position, the depth at the running back position, and to a degree, when you have to run a different offense for a different quarterback that you're running – Sudfeld, if Sudfeld's taking 90% of the snaps during the week, they're running 10% for Diamant. They're not blocking that way. They're not blocking for that guy. So I'm not going to kill the offensive line for that performance, because it isn't something that if Diamant was in game 7 and that was the performance, it's a totally different answer for me. It wasn't in this game, and that's the frustrating part, because Indiana just has had to throw something against the wall and see if it sticks, and now the backup quarterback, his arm is in a sling, and who knows what the story is with him. So it wasn't a very good 8 days of football, starting with Ohio State and ending with Penn State into Sunday morning once you found out all this stuff. But it is what it is.
But we're here on Monday,
yeah,
and suddenly this IU offense looks quite mediocre is the best way
and
I can put it at this moment.
Christian Hackenberg looked like
and
Todd Blackledge.
The defense was no better, but I think we all bought into a lot of stuff heading into that game. We'll talk about all that and where we really are when we get back from the break. 333-2665 is the phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
No score in Chicago, bottom of one as the Cubbies and Arrieta. Surprising, he doesn't give up any runs. That's a shock. Cardinals now in the field, Michael Wacha pitching. That game's on TBS if you want to watch that without the sound
Wacha,
in the background.
Wacha, Wacha.
But that's a pretty good pitching matchup. This time of year, you run into more of those than not. And earlier, Kansas City beat Houston 9-6, come from behind victory. Kansas City down, 6-2, was it?
Yep.
I couldn't even remember. 6-2, and the inning took an hour.
Yep.
They led before the first out was made.
There's a lot that happened.
And there was plenty to happen. Toronto beating Texas 7-1 on Fox Sports 1. That will tie that series at 2 apiece. And Kansas City and Houston go back to Kansas City to settle that 1-1 in both the Cubs and Cardinals, and later Dodgers and Mets.
333-2665 is the phone number. Hoosiers sit at 4-2. That's the good news right now, 4-2. So they did take care of their out-of-conference. Two tough games, no doubt, to start their Big Ten season at home against Ohio State, only the number one team in the nation. And at Penn State, who, while has been not very exciting on the offensive end the last few years, has been very good defensively and is very good right now. They do have a very good front. And they usually do. The difference right now, of course, with Penn State is that they were banged up at the running back position, but their offensive line the last couple of years has really been decimated, not anywhere near the quality you're used to at Penn State. But before we talk about the IU defense in particular, the IU offense going against that Penn State defense, look, we know Jordan Howard has been out now a game and a half. Nate Sudfeld out now a game and a half. They hope, it sounds like maybe Nate Sudfeld will be okay to go this weekend. He was cleared by doctors to play on Saturday, but the coaches said they wanted to keep him out. They didn't think his mobility was there. So that's interesting, but they watch him a lot more than I do, so they can make that judgment better than I can. But here's what bugs me. It's two good run defenses. Again, they're not the 85 Bears that they face, but they're two good run defenses. They're two very talented fronts, no question about it. Ohio State more talented than Penn State, maybe a little bit, but very good, both of them either way. The problem I have is, again, Glass, you've heard me talk about what an offensive line, a good quality offensive line does for you and how you can control the game, and they did that for four games with that offensive line. Their defense was still sketchy at times, but their offense, you thought, hey, this team can protect Sudfeld and can run the ball when it wants. And I don't know if I suddenly am angry at myself for finally buying in on it, because we've heard it for the last couple of years that they've got this good offensive line, but then you'd see them go up against somebody good and they'd get owned. I really thought, watching this team and this line, that they had something different, that they had something that, you know, it wasn't going to rush for 300 yards against Ohio State or Penn State. That wasn't going to happen. But right now, the last two games, you take away one Diamant 80-yard touchdown run, where he outran the defense once he got outside, they're averaging less than 2 yards a carry right now in the last two games. I don't think those two teams are that good defensively where it makes that big of a difference. Now, you don't have playmakers, but something's not right here with that.
I don't think that's completely off base, but I'm still going to go back to the point where Indiana played a half with Devine Redding taking the ball 28 times or whatever it was.
They tried, yeah.
They tried to do it, and it was not.
And I'm all for continuing to try it, because yes, I think it opens up things up, or can.
I don't disagree with that.
I'm surprised they aren't having any success.
But the point is, it's different. And when you lose horses in midstream, it's one thing. And then when you have the other team that can, like I mentioned before we went to the break, have all week to prepare for the other guys, there's a reason they don't start. There's a reason they don't play. And should you be able to block better? I think absolutely. I don't think Kevin Wilson came out at any point and said the offensive line played up to any kind of expectations he thought were any good, either after the game or in today's press conference. So there's not that allure there. But moving forward, how to get guys, how to get that offense back and going. Is it do you block harder? Have you just met better physical teams? I mean, that's part of it, is losing the guys. And I think that's a huge part of it, because this team is, I'm not going to say the mentally toughest that probably has been around here. I'm guessing
they're still very young.
I'm guessing they're awfully fragile as well. Yeah. And seeing Sudfeld and Howard go down in the same game, you think, geez, now are we in survival mode or are we in winning mode? And it looked to me on Saturday, even after a week of practice, I don't know if they tell him, hey, look, Nate's getting close. And then they say, Nate's not playing.
Yeah.
Does that hit you mentally, and does that affect your performance? I think, because these are kids, not trained professionals, I think that does affect them in some way. And the other part, Penn State on their calendar, Dave, let's be fair, they circle home games too. They practice hard all week. Their offense hasn't been firing in the best. If you heard James Franklin after the game, he said, hey, look, we've played in three games where it's been torrential downpours. We haven't exactly been firing in all cylinders because of some of the problems we've had with weather. They've had injuries at the running back position, like you mentioned. Their offensive line has been tired. Their offensive line has been tried and tired. Mm-hmm. And again, Penn State has the mantra that we're Penn State and we can beat you when Indiana comes to town. Indiana hasn't figured out how to say, hey, we're Indiana, this new and improved version, and we're going to beat you, because I haven't seen it yet.
They've got the confidence, and they've got the 100,000 people there.
They do.
I mean, certainly, I get all that.
And they're told all week that, look, Indiana got beaten up. If you heard Kirk Herbstreit on Saturday morning, I think his point rang true. I don't know if you saw game day at all. I saw the tweet. Somebody said, Herbstreit said that Indiana looks spent after last week. They put it all on the line against a very good Ohio State team at home. And we talked about this. We didn't want Ohio State to be Indiana's bowl game or the highlight of their year.
That's exactly right.
And if they mentally, and I'm not saying the coaching staff,
and we know
told
it is for
the
fans. I mean, the fans buy way too much into that kind of thing.
But if the players believed they were close enough and thought they were close enough and decided, well, that's good enough, which I don't think they did. Yeah, I think they got a wake-up call in saying, well, yeah, Penn State only beat Army by this. Penn State lost by this much to I mean, everybody reads that stuff. And sadly, this isn't a job for these kids. It is amateur athletics, whether you buy into that or not, whether they pay them or not, scholarships or not, doesn't matter. But these guys' jobs aren't on the line. They're trying their best. But, Dave, I think we're getting to the point now where we put our best up against the Big Ten East's best. After 2 weeks, I think we've seen that defense is better than our offense.
Yeah, I mean, it's certainly 333-2665 is a phone number. It's certainly two of the better defenses in the Big Ten, and we have to give them that credit.
Yes.
I'm not surprised that we lost these two games. I predicted winning it at Penn State. Quite honestly, I thought Nate Sudfeld would play.
That's a fine asterisk to have by it, and I think that's completely fair.
And I thought they'd run the ball better, and that's the problem I have right now is I'm looking at this right now, and I'm thinking they've played a couple teams that are actually halfway decent in the running game. Florida International averages, 3.59 yards a carry. And I look at the yards per carry a little bit more than yards per game because that really depends more on what's going on a regular basis. For example, Rutgers is ranked ahead of Penn State in rushing offense if you just go with yards per game at 100 fewer carries.
Sure.
So, I mean, it's not apples to apples.
But it is.
But the problem there is if you look down the line here, they've got coming up, let's see, Penn State averaged 3.18 so far this year in yards per carry against. Ohio State averages 3.04. That's really good defense.
Yeah.
Michigan, 2.32.
Best in the country.
Iowa, 2.62. Michigan, 3.66. You've got more of these coming up. And I guess the frustration to me, and maybe this might just be me having bought into it a little bit more. I thought that Florida International defense was really good. They averaged 3.59 a carry in rushing offense, including a game against us where we ran it very well. I don't understand what's happened in the last week and a half or 2 weeks because it was the entire Ohio State game. Jordan Howard was not running the ball well.
No, he was not.
I mean, he had no room to run
either.
And
Nate Sudfeld wasn't throwing the ball well.
And Nate Sudfeld was out there. I mean, so when Howard and Sudfeld were out there, they weren't generating any running offense. So that's what I don't get of what's happened up front.
I think you just answered your question. I think you're playing better teams. Florida International is a nice team, but they're not Big Ten good.
I at some point in time, again, if you want to talk about how great your offensive line is, it's got to produce something,
sure,
even against the good teams.
And
it's getting shut down by those two defenses.
And this is to your point. This is to your point. And I want you to write these down because I don't have a pen with me.
All right.
I want you to write this down. Talking about the offensive line with Xander Diamant under center. Here we go. Drive one, Indiana starts at 13:05. Diamant, first and 10, incomplete.
Oh, they had six straight passes or something. It was absurd.
Xander Diamant, incomplete, second and 10.
Yeah.
Third and 10, he rushes for 16 yards on
scramble.
A broke-down scramble.
Yeah.
Next, first down and 10, incomplete pass. Second down and 10, incomplete pass. Third down and 10, incomplete pass. So that's
six straight.
Six straight pass calls.
Yes.
Next drive.
Right.
Next drive. Diamant, rush for 1 yard loss. Diamant, pass
and
incomplete.
That's probably a sack.
Diamant, sack for loss.
Yeah. I mean, that's nine straight
fumble.
Pass plays called.
Okay. Keep going.
Yeah.
Diamant, pass complete to Westbrook. They went 11 plays before they handed the ball
off. Before they gave it to Devon Redding.
Did I just answer your question about the offensive line?
I don't know. I mean, have they been telling me all year long how good their offensive line is, how their best player is an offensive guard, and how they got another pro at offensive tackle?
So people won't look at it? I don't
know. And yet they know themselves that they can't do anything up front against the defense they're going to face? Is that what that tells me?
Xander Diamant dropped back.
They would rather put it into the true sophomore's hands to throw it, and he showed in the game before that he can be just as big of a liability throwing the ball as he can be an asset. Now, he did not throw any interceptions in that first game, nor in this one. But there were several several that should have been.
But he settled down and was fine until he got knocked out of the game.
And I get
you. I was making your point for you.
Eleven pass plays in a row. You've got to throw it a little bit. I get that. I'm not saying you run it 100% of the time. But they don't even walk into that game with the idea that they want to try to rely on their strength. I don't get that part.
The other part you don't get. They start this drive on the 37-yard line. I can see three straight pass plays, trying to open them up, catch them in something, think, hey, backup quarterback, guess what they're going to do? They're going to hand it off three times just to get everybody settled in. They're going to punt. They were on their own
nine.
They were on their own 7-yard line.
Yeah.
They weren't even trying to get their punter any room to punt. That's what happened. I'm looking at the play sheet here, folks.
And he started 0 for 6 throwing it. So it's not like throwing it was working out real well either.
No.
And some of those were disasters that they got away with.
It was a 4 and out because of his scramble.
Yeah. Now, again, you're missing your pro prospect quarterback. You're missing the guy who a game ago, before the Ohio State game, was the leading rusher in America. It's not going to be perfect. We get that.
I don't think that.
I'm surprised at how quickly it went completely downhill to unworkable and no
offense.
You remember
the question I asked you on Monday before the Ohio State game, or Wednesday before the Ohio State game? Hey, man, if the run doesn't work, how quick do you think the Hoosiers are going to abandon it? Remember when I said that?
Before the game, apparently.
Well, that was the Ohio State game. Yeah. But what did they do? They pounded Redding 30 times.
Long. Yes, they did.
So, to your point, I'm making
rushes.
A point for you. Now, Wilson says in his press conference, hey, we came out balanced.
Complete 180.
We came out balanced with run-pass numbers. But they were running the ball against Ohio State, who you can argue is a better defense, and they ran it. And ran it and ran it. There had to be something on film. There had to be something strategically. Dave, 11 dropbacks in a row. 11 before they handed the ball off. And that is a complete change of focus that you saw against Ohio State in the second half. Mm-hmm. A complete change of focus that you saw. Again, down in distance, I know it's the beginning of the game. Maybe with the backup quarterback, you want to shorten the game a little bit and get the clock winding a little bit. That's another angle that I would look at.
Well,
but you're on your 7-yard line against a good defense. Try to plow 6-8 yards up the middle. Give your guys some room to punt. At least try to change the field.
Or, you know, if you want to throw one down the sideline to show you're at least going to take a chance to Simi Cobbs because he's 6'4 and he can jump.
Besides him, right?
I mean, that's the part I don't get.
That was
walk into that game and not even consider relying on your offensive line.
That answers your question. I don't know why.
I mean, the best thing you can say about Xander Diamant right this minute as a quarterback, and this is not to insult the kid. You can see he's not a great passer right now. He's clearly putting some balls into some bad spots, and he overthrew just about everything early in that game. The best thing he's got going are his legs. So it was the strategy to walk in there and say, we'll protect you for 5 seconds on every play, and then we need you to scramble as our best offense. I've said it before. If chaos is the idea, chaos is not a strategy.
But we weren't even
– It's nice to have in your back pocket.
They weren't even read options. They were just straight fakes and go.
It was all pass play.
And they didn't roll him out, and they didn't try to get him – moving the pocket where you could get guys to give you better running lanes.
So the game before they tried it and it didn't work. And I was a little surprised again because I really buy into the idea that this offensive line is pretty good.
They had shown you in 4.5 games that they deserved merit.
And the defenses they had faced weren't huge defenses, but the Wake defense is decent and the Florida International front's pretty darn good. And they pushed them around most of the day.
And the other thing to remember, when you throw the ball, the first 1, 2, 3. How many did we get to? 11?
At least nine.
Okay, we'll say it's 9 just for argument's sake. That's fine. Whatever it is, and you complete one of them, you're passing it that many times didn't accomplish anything.
Exactly right.
Because you didn't put the defense on its heels. You didn't say, whoa, this isn't what we were ready for.
You got one first down on a scramble.
Which is great.
And again, that was your best offense of the day.
And how many more of those did you have the rest of the day? Not too many. So to come out and go pass. But the end of the game, you were balanced. Okay, that doesn't do it because that didn't make sense. Because when Danny Cameron's in the game, Danny Cameron didn't even play high school football, did he, his final year?
I don't think he started.
Okay.
He played, but I don't think he started.
Yeah, so they put him in, and again, you're not going to beat anybody on the road.
And he's a better thrower.
You're not going to beat anybody on the road in the Big Ten with your third-string quarterback playing and Mike Majette carrying the football. I know the game was dead at that point, and Alex Rodriguez playing, and None of that stuff was tried when the game was still in line.
Again, I don't know.
I
don't get what's happened to them up front, and I don't get what's happened to the play calling, because you're exactly right. They went completely against being balanced early in that game.
Maybe that was the strategy to catch them off, catch them on their heels, but you never put them on their heels, and you don't have any players to do it right now. That's the other problem.
And you got the kids sacked all day long, got them hurt at the end. Or not even in the end, the third quarter. Got to take a quick break. We'll look at the other side of the ball when we get back. 333-2665 is a phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. Right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL. Just a quick reminder, we're with you until 7:45 tonight with In the Red Zone taking over at 7 o'clock. But lead you right up until the national broadcast, pregame for the national broadcast of Monday Night Football. Tonight it is Pittsburgh at San Diego. Again, kickoff is just after 8:30 for that. And we will also have NFL football later this week, Thursday night, as we carry all the Thursday night games. They are all conference games, so a little extra juice on Thursday nights. Atlanta at New Orleans, 8 o'clock pregame on Thursday. And then Friday night, more high school football as we close out the regular season with the South Panthers clinched a share, at least, of the Conference Indiana title, trying to win it outright against Perry Meridian on Friday night. 7 o'clock is Chalk Talk, and 7:30 is kickoff, as Perry has to come down 37, and anybody who's been done that recently knows that stinks, so they got to give him a little extra time.
Or just leave school at noon. That'd probably be your best.
You could do that, too. 333-2665 is a phone number. IU loses 29-7 at Penn State. Offense grinds to a halt. Defense, I'll tell you what, defense did what it could do. Put some pressure on Hackenberg, which is what you got to do against that lousy offensive line at Penn State's, but couldn't stop them at the end of the day. Here's what you saw that I've talked so much about this year. You saw a 1-to-1 turnover margin, an even turnover margin, which the Hoosiers were plus 8 or plus 10, I think, all in this season through 5 games. And you saw a 11-minute deficit in time of possession. And that's what happened to the defense at the end of it, is they end up giving 29 points up to a bad offense because they're just out there too darn much.
Yep, and the other part was they were in the backfield all day and couldn't make any plays. How many missed tackles did you see at the point of attack, the line of scrimmage, or even in the defensive or in the offensive backfield? There was too many of them. When Christian Hackenberg, he can't scramble eggs, dude. He can't make an omelet. When you let him get free, not once, not twice, but three or four times, again, it just takes you out of what you're trying to do and trying to get accomplished. Now, to be fair, they got 4 sacks on them. Mm-hmm. To be fair, they did cause a fumble, but a stupid Latham penalty, that's not aggressive to me. You're riding a guy for 5 straight yards with your hand underneath his chin strap.
Up in his face to get him off you.
Three yards from the official, that's not smart. That's not unlucky where a guy catches you with your pinky in his ear hole. That's right. Not the point. The point was it wiped out Indiana's ball at the 35-yard line. It wiped out all the momentum in the game, and guess what happens? Penn State goes down and scores, so that's a 10-point or 14-point swing if you want to get into swings.
Huge. You needed to get back on the turnovers again.
You can't do that on the road.
You can't do it on the road.
You can't do it on the road. Not in a place you've never won. Not in a place 106,000 people. And again, Latham's not a freshman getting some time and is excited. He's been here. He's done it.
He has missed 2 games this year.
Well, he's got 5 personal fouls in the 4 games he's played.
Let's put 2 and 2 together. If he's undisciplined enough to miss 2 games for whatever reasons they were, he's probably undisciplined enough to not get
But again, that's a tough guy play that kills your team.
Yeah, 333-2665 is a phone number. Let's bring in Roy. How you doing, Roy?
Dave, I've got to agree with you. I think the biggest problem is we don't have enough quality big uglies, you know. Either side of the ball, you know. I mean, we halfway conceded that by announcing that, you know, a couple of years ago that we're going to 3-4. That just means you can't recruit, you know, Big Ten level athletes enough to, you know, fill the 4 defensive line positions.
Yeah, they have more big bodies than they have athletic huge bodies. I mean, Latham's a very nice player up front when he's not, you know, making or giving you problems with penalties.
Yeah. But he's one guy,
right.
You know, and, you know, they've got a couple others that are serviceable, but, you know, it's not like the Ohio States of the world where, you know, they've
No, but you didn't expect it to be, did you, Roy? You knew that they were going to go. You knew they were going to be eight guys deep on their offensive line.
No, but you would hope that we would be like six or seven deep. You know where somebody's having a bad game and there's a credible replacement for him, not somebody that you're absolutely scared to death to put in.
Well, here you go.
The defense against Penn State did the more or less the exact same thing it's done all year long. It just had to do it in 11 more minutes. The one thing that it didn't do is it didn't create turnovers. The Penn State offense is the perfect team to go try to get turnovers against. Now, its turnover margin is actually pretty good, but it's not a very good offense. And so that's the problem, is if your offense is able to generate anything like what it normally generates, and I'm not even talking about 40 points, but just to hold on to the ball a bit, keep the time of possession about even, get a turnover or two, you might even win this game. But they couldn't generate any turnovers, and the offense couldn't generate anything. That's the difference in this game, really, at the end, was that they had to be out there on the field a lot more than they've been used to.
And that's a full Monty deal, because the defense, it should be 21-7. Kid misses two extra points, keeps you in the game, luckily. But when the defense can't make any big plays and they hit you for 239-yard pass plays because your backs are looking into the backfield again, that's what happens when you got to play young guys in your defensive backfield. So that wasn't even really an offensive or defensive front seven issue, but it's a defensive issue. And Indiana couldn't give their defense a break because 3-and-out, 4-and-out, 5-and-out. And when they crossed, what would Wilson say? They crossed half field six times, seven times, and scored one touchdown. Well, again, if you're not scoring points and if you're not scoring points, you're not going to win very many games with 7 points in the Big Ten, and that's the tough part. Wilson's press conference today, they pulled one of the offensive linemen. They were trying other guys. Martin. They asked him, they go, hey, Wes Martin, anything on Wes? And Wilson responds, he just wasn't playing good.
Yeah, they put Rodgers in for a while, and then Rodgers got beat, so they put Martin back in.
Well, and there you go, and that's part of it. And again, teams with eight guys deep on the offensive line are ranked in the top 20. Teams that aren't. Don't have that aren't. That's kind of how it goes.
Right. Again, and Roy, thanks for the phone
call.
Good
job, as always, Roy. Roy always pays attention. That's good.
The whole thing to me coming out of this game is the offensive line. It is to me, because this is the unit that you've come to expect was going to put you into, keep you into games and give you a chance to control the ball and as you know, in turn, control the game. And what all the turnovers that the defense have got has resulted in points up until this week, I believe.
Yes, because they recovered the onside kick and did not score.
Yeah, and I mean,
did they have a fumble?
Yeah, we got a fumble or an interception.
Dutra got a fumble recovery.
That's right. So, but before this, I mean, the offense has always scored off it. I mean, they scored 7 points. They don't have to score 80. I mean, let's not be crazy about it. But this is the this is the game where you needed to. Well, all these games, you need this offensive line. They're your strength. You talk about them all the time. You run the ball. You run the ball. You run the ball. I like it. I love it. I want it to be that. I bought into this. I bought into the offensive line because of what I saw with my eyes against some decent defenses in Wake and Florida International. And the other games, they did what they're supposed to do. We've seen games, Glass, where Eastern Kentucky came in here, and we couldn't run the ball at all.
Indiana State.
Yeah. I mean, those are teams you've got to push around, and they couldn't do it. This year, all of a sudden, they really are. And I mean, shoving them all over the place. Then you get these two teams come out here, and all of a sudden it's like a 180, and you don't know what you're doing out there. I don't get it.
And that was a tough part. And the other thing you didn't see besides the onside kick, you didn't see anything offensively to unlock the pressure of Penn State's defense. No end around, no pass from Mitchell Page, no anything. It was really, really vanilla. And that's the other thing. Now, I understand you don't do that on your 7-yard line to start the game.
Right.
Well, I mean, you go for it on 4th and 7 on your own 14 sometimes. We do that. So you just, again, they didn't, and Wilson said this in his press conference today. He said, we got to coach better. We got to get the guy behind center organized better. We've got to put people in better positions to win. And are we throwing too much stuff at the guys? And I thought that was a real interesting point. Well, in game 6, I think it's okay to throw more stuff at the guys, you would think, if training camp has gone so well, if the beginning of the season has gone so well. I think that's Wilson taking the bullet, which I think is a good head coaching move, by the way. But you should be able to give them more at this stage, especially in a game on the road in front of a huge crowd. Hey, look, it's another homecoming game. Right. You have to. It looks so simple, I didn't understand what they didn't simplify. I'm lost in that. But
I don't know why you walk into that game first of all, I don't know why you walk into that game and think putting Xander Diamant and the ball in his hands, asking him to throw it all over the park, is
from
the
your
best.
Own, from yeah. the shadow of your goal.
Again,
line.
you take 5 steps back and chuck it down the sideline to Simi Cobbs. I get that. And not that that's a smart play necessarily, but at least I get the try. And you throw it down the sideline, there's less chance of anything horrible happening that, down that direction. I can understand that, trying to open things up a little bit. I don't get pass plays the first 10 plays of the game. I don't get it at all. Coming in with the way they've run the ball all year long.
And the other interesting
and
point.
And then I don't get how this offensive line has been so ineffective the last two games.
And the other point I think we need to talk about as well, and you heard this on the broadcast if you listened at all, and I thought it was interesting, and that's why I bring it up. You saw them run back-to-back plays that worked frequently, mm-hmm. where you call, hey, there's one to Griffith. Hey, there's another one to Griffith. Or there's one here. Again, it looked vanilla of all vanilla flavors from a team that's supposed to have one of the highest falutinist offenses in the world.
Jordan Howard had 14 carries and 34 yards in the first half against Ohio State before he went out with an ankle injury. They weren't running it with him, so it's not just him. Got to take a quick break. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. All right, you're back in the Zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Kyle Schwarber has left the friendly confines there at the corner of Sheffield and Addison.
Hit the ball out of the friendly confines. He hasn't left.
No. The ball he hit.
They're going to need him for a few more innings.
I think it went in Lake Michigan, kind of like the one he hit in Pittsburgh. Got all of that one. 1-0 Cubs. Cardinals batting in the top of the third. Schwarber. Tonight, batting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 for the Cubbies. Solo home run, and that's the lead. And the wind today, Jave, was this morning when I did the news, was blowing out 15 to 20 miles to right field. Kyle Schwarber is left-handed. You can connect the dots and figure out if that's a good deal.
Surf that, baby.
Or a bad deal for a Cub fan. So there you go. Game tied one, or series tied one game apiece. Two and a half innings in the books in Chicago.
I want to go back to the stat I mentioned there, because in the first half, and this is what I'm trying to get to about the offense, it's extremely easy, and I understand it, to say that their problem the last game and a half is because Nate Sudfeld and Jordan Howard have not played. And on the surface, you're exactly correct. I mean, that's got to be part of it. They're the best quarterback and the best running back you got. That's got to be part of it. In the first half against Ohio State, Jordan Howard had 14 carries for a net 34 yards, 2.4 yards per carry. That he was averaging over 6 yards a carry before that. So the blocking, the upfront stuff, wasn't working in that game when you had your best players on the field. I would expect to take a little bit of a step back, certainly, when you lose those two players also. I'm just surprised at how quickly in the last two whole games – how your strength has gone completely away.
I'm going to give him a little bit of a break in the sense that Sudfeld hurt his ankle in the Wake Forest game. So he was gimpy in the Ohio State game.
Right.
You saw him one-hop throws. You saw him hurry and get the ball away. Here's my point. Like Diamant, Sudfeld wasn't making any plays with his arm where Ohio State could load up against the run. There was nothing to force down the field. It looks like he couldn't even step into it. You didn't see any routes develop deep. You didn't even see any big dropbacks because who knows how mobile he was. Mm-hmm. So when Indiana takes that out of their arsenal, Dave, I think they get defended a lot easier. When Ohio State saw him one-hop and throws, or again, those routes weren't even going that way. Yeah. Everything was quick. Let's get it out of his hands. He can't scramble. We don't want him running in the pocket because he's hurt. Well, things break down, and things get a lot simpler for the defense. And when you do it against really good defenses, that's the perfect storm, sadly.
This coaching staff has managed to generate offense with all different arrangements of players. It's got
to
happen again this weekend.
2 years had it of Tevin Coleman. Now they have no quarterback and no best running back.
Sure.
That's another layer they haven't had
Steven
to deal with.
Houston, and you know, when Trey Roberson had no experience, you know, I mean, they've been able to put some numbers on.
They have been.
They're going to have to figure out a way here because maybe Sudfeld plays this weekend. That would certainly be great. But again, the offensive line, look, we're done. You can't talk about how great you are and how you got all these draft picks on your team if you're getting dominated.
NFL scouts say doesn't do a fan any good.
Well,
it doesn't
the
do
coaches
the team
are
any good.
About it,
they do that because it's a recruiting angle, as you well know. You want to be in the buzz saying, hey, if you come here, you're going to be looked at by NFL scouts. But again, You know, Andrew McDonald got waived by the Browns yesterday. Anybody care? No, I didn't think he did. See, it just doesn't matter. That's the point. The point is you have to find a way to win ball games. And I think your point about creating the offense is more interesting. And you know what? I have commended them for not running gimmick plays. I have commended mm-hmm. them for not playing backyard football. But you know what? It looked like backyard football on Saturday. Yeah. It's hike the ball and run. It was they were running single wing, Dave. They'd hike the ball to Diamant and he'd take off running. That's not complicated offense. Is that survival offense? Is it shorten the game offense? Then you can't throw nine passes to start the game, and I can't believe that side of it. So it was interesting. I think that's the word I've come up with.
If that's I guess I don't understand how all of a sudden your offensive line is not the strength that you want to try to rely on a little bit. Why you wouldn't even try it? Interesting thing now at this point is you've got a game against Rutgers who does not measure up to the last two defenses you've played. It's got some athletes out there, but it does not measure up
front. Head coach is back,
and then you've got three of the next best defenses in the league right in a row in Michigan State, Michigan, and Iowa. So it certainly doesn't get any easier. We certainly would like to see Jordan Howard and Nate Sudfeld back on the field as quickly as possible.
Yep, because any plans you're making for the next victory will have to include both of them unless you see an unbelievable turnaround. Sure, it's homecoming in Bloomington. We get that. And with homecoming comes the built-in pride, and we're going to get real fired up for this game. But to be a good program, you can't have number one come in 1 week to get you fired up, and then you have homecoming to get you fired up the next time. You got to get fired up on your own. It's a sign of a team that's growing up, and they're just not growing up as fast as fans would like them to do.
No, and that's why I'm not on them for a stinker at Penn State necessarily, because it's always a tough trip. I'm a little surprised they didn't have more success, but again, given the way the offense played, it's not surprising. You needed the offense. This team needs the offense to be good at the very least. Doesn't have to be great all the time, but it's got to be good.
It needs to be balanced.
It's defense. If everybody's wanting so badly to praise the defense that their turnover margin has become their definition of a good defense or a growing defense or whatever it is. The defense isn't very good. It's not. So what you can get out of them are a couple turnovers and maybe a little bit of pressure out of Nick Mangieri. And, you know, you got a little bit of that this weekend. 29 points by Penn State is not absurd for the defense when they're out there for 36 minutes.
3 of 3.
You need the offense to produce for this team or it will lose.
3 of 3 in the red zone. 2 touchdowns, 1 field goal for Penn State. 5 of 14 on third down, Dave. Again, not terrible. They had
really good at that against Ohio State.
4 sacks as well. No points off the turnovers. That means your offense didn't help you out as well. When your MVP of the game is your punter, you know things did not go well on the road in the Big Ten. Eric Toth put 4 inside the 20, and his leg has to be sore after 11 of them on the week. And then that's just how it goes. But I think the greater point here is for Indiana mentally, and we can't judge that, which is it's hard to do, but you can judge it when the coach comes out and the first thing in this press conference says, we were selfish in our effort. That's a team that is not taking steps in the right direction.
That's not good.
You can trot out the third down conversion stats. You can trot out the turnover stats. But the first thing the coach noticed in his press conference was this team played selfish. They did not play they didn't get after it. They didn't get after it as a unit. They didn't get after it for this or that or anything else. And that's the bigger question, because when both sides of the ball, the offensive line's not firing, the defense isn't making as many plays, or, again, they're on the field a long time because of the offense, we get it. Indiana has absolutely nothing. Coach Wilson was dead on in this. Indiana has absolutely nothing in the punt return game nothing in the kick return game. Mitchell Page took one kick back this year. He did a great job on that. Since then, guess what happens? Guess what happens when you take one kick back in college football?
Well, they pay a little bit more attention
you
to
are
it.
A marked man, my friend, and they cover you differently and they kick to you differently. So I'm not saying Mitchell Page is a bad player. That's not the angle. The angle is you either have to find ways to get guys involved, and guess what? When they've done that before, there's the kid that lets the ball bounce on a kickoff at the 10-yard line.
Right.
So they're trying it. So, again, it's not as deep as you'd like it to be. It's not as good as you'd like it to be, and especially playing against the big boys in your division in the league, then things stick out like sore thumbs.
Best thing for this team might be that they don't face a couple teams that are some of the best defenses in the league. Also, they do have Michigan and Iowa, who are very good, and Michigan State upcoming. They don't play Northwestern, who's leading the nation in points against.
Well, even after the 38 against Michigan?
They don't play Wisconsin, who's 4th in the nation in points against. They don't face Illinois, who's 23rd in points against. So Minnesota is 36, so maybe that's the best thing, is they've got Maryland and Purdue down at the end that they can still get. And Rutgers. Let's go to Rutgers, and we'll talk about Rutgers on Wednesday. We'll talk about the Colts when we get back from the break, as in the red zone, takes over in just a couple minutes. So don't go anywhere. We'll be back in just a couple minutes. Dave and Glass with you in the Zone. Back in the red zone here on WGCL 96.1 and AM 1370. Dave and Glass with you again. We're with you till 7:45 as we take you up until the pregame for the Monday Night Football national broadcast, Pittsburgh at San Diego. We'll give you more programming notes, more football on the docket here on WGCL in a little while. Before we get off the Hoosiers, they've got Rutgers coming up this week. Rutgers gets back Kyle Flood,
their head coach.
Football coach. They had some issues, but gave Michigan State a hell of a game.
Not
on
Steve
Saturday
Sarkisian
night.
Issues, different issues.
No, they've got other issues, and they had on-field issues in particular in that game the other night, but they managed to come within 7 points and maybe a last-second pass they didn't make to giving Michigan State all they wanted.
They spiked it on fourth down.
We should also note that down the road we play Maryland. And Maryland has let Randy Edsall go.
In the middle of the season because
an interim coach.
That's what you do in college football?
I guess.
For performance-based issues? Why start the season? Why? Interesting. Yeah. Maryland's problem, not Indiana's problem.
And it went all weekend with this news out there, but wouldn't comment
yes,
on it.
Yes, and the athletic director simply apologized for that being the case in his press conference.
It's okay.
And don't forget, Purdue, 1-16 in their last 17 Big Ten games. They go from almost upsetting Michigan State and East Lansing to getting trounced at home 41-13 by Minnesota. Why? Because they're 18 to 23-year-old kids. That's why. You want to pick on somebody? Pick on the Indianapolis Colts. Those
yes.
guys play for pay, and so does the rest of the National Football League. So, again, Indiana, the simple thing would be win two more games, but, Dave, I think playing well will lead to that. You need to figure out in practice. You need to figure out from watching the film, A, who's going to take some leadership responsibility, who's going to get things organized, and who's going to, again, bring it together. There's no point in fracturing it. You've been close. It's hard to win at Penn State. Not a lot of teams do that.
Sure.
This shouldn't be something where you look in the mirror and say, boy, that was a chance
we
wasted.
Blew that.
They kicked your ass.
No. They were good. They're always a good team.
They are. So
yeah,
that's why the season shouldn't be.
It might have been a little closer this year, but not after you played them.
No.
It's pretty
and that's the whole thing. The game's never been played on paper. The game has never been played the week before, as Purdue showed you, and then the week after. It's not. You have to bring it each week, and until Indiana finds a more consistent message in doing that, they've been fine with wins. It's the losses that have to do it. So you get charged up for homecoming. You get charged up for Rutgers, probably a game that you had circled on there as one of these must-haves at home, homecoming.
Right. That's right.
You didn't know Kyle Flood was going to be gone for three games in the middle of the season. Mm-hmm. You didn't know their best wide receiver was going to miss three games. Since he's came back, he's caught seven passes for five touchdowns or something ridiculous.
We certainly circled it as one of your good chances.
And you know what? That's what it has to come down to. It can't be the guy across the ball anymore. It's got to be what you're doing in the film room, what you're doing on the practice field.
And what I talked about for the whole first hour, you can't get dominated up front.
No.
You've got to run the ball. You've got to find a way to, at least to control things.
And you have to find a way to get the ball in the end zone. And you have to find ways to make more defensive plays. And you have to find ways to get in the red zone, stop guys in the red zone.
This team's recipe.
There is nothing from this team that you have seen all year that said, you've said, if this happens, this team will win 7 or 8, 9 football games. There is not one facet of this team that is good enough, in my opinion, to make that statement. They need it from everywhere.
Yeah.
They need it in the kicking game. They need it in the return game. They need it on the defensive line, front seven. They need it in the defensive backfield. You want to talk about the first two touchdowns they scored? 39-yard pass plays, because guys are paying attention.
Yeah.
That's what happens. So you got to go check the film. You got to have competition at places, and you got to find guys that have no problem getting upset when you get beat, have no problem fixing it immediately. But sometimes when you play young guys, Dave, it doesn't come along as fast as you need it to in the middle of the season. Could use a bye week this week. Instead, you get Rutgers at home.
Speaking of young guys, we won't be speaking of them, actually, when we talk about the Colts' victory last Thursday night right here on WGCL in Houston. as all of the points scored by 30-year-old folks or older. 42-year-old Adam Vinatieri. Matt Hasselbeck is 40. He was your quarterback all game long. Frank Gore is 32. Andre Johnson's 34. So those are the people that ended up scoring all your points for you against the Houston Texans.
Can you speak up a little louder? I don't know if they can hear you.
Their hearing aids are turned down, and I don't blame them. But either way, the Colts walk out of there with a 7-point victory, of course, is the most important part here, and have a 2-game lead in the win column, but more importantly, 3-0 in the division compared to 0-1 for all of the three teams. Again, thank God
for the AFC South.
It has been the blessing of the Ryan Grigson, Chuck Pagano, Andrew Luck
Remember, they beat Peyton Manning on the road last year, didn't they?
Sure, they've had a couple big games. Well, there's no question. The Kansas City comeback, no question. So they've had some big games. 333-2665 is our phone number. Let's bring in Bob.
Bob, you want to talk a little IU football? That's fine with us here on a Monday extended version. Jump on in.
Oh, okay. You guys have discussed the offense very well, but didn't say too much about the defense. I saw some problems there, especially you're letting a lumbering big guy like Hackenberg or walk into the end zone twice.
Yeah, because he doesn't even try to tackle him. He doesn't do that, and I think sometimes you get caught up in what they should do and not what they are doing. You saw Indiana in the backfield, as I said earlier, multiple times in the backfield with plays, and the guys are getting shredded by guys that don't even start for Penn State. Guys are running through them, running through arm tackles. T.J. Simmons got a winning grade this week and had one assist.
Bob, here's why I'm not going to spend a lot of time on the IU defense this week, because people have made too much out of the IU defense and the improvement, quote-unquote improvement they've made this year. And frankly, I have said for every week of the year, I don't buy it. All they're doing differently is they're getting off the field in certain spots and they're getting turnovers. And that didn't happen this weekend, and you saw what the difference was. You turned a bad offense and made them look good. So
they just didn't look like they had come down off of that Ohio State game at all.
No, I think Wilson said the same thing.
And they're not particularly good. I mean, there's some nice players out there. They do hustle most of the time, but they're just not a very good defense. So I didn't expect them to go out there and shut Penn State down.
And they're young.
If they did, I would have been surprised.
And again, we're hoping that
at least you could try to tackle the open space or something like that.
No, and that's
some of those guys
true.
Don't even look like they're trying.
Especially against the slowest non-lineman on the team.
That's exactly. and when he carves you up for 37 yards and however many, and then when you've got your inexperienced backfield, defensive backfield, with their eyes in the offensive backfield, watching the ball sail over their head as guys run a real – they're not. Those weren't complicated routes.
No.
Those were things that Penn State has been doing. And, again, Bob, it's part of the growing process, and sometimes they just don't grow up fast enough.
I heard them on TV talking about Penn State, and they – and on ESPN and so forth, and they just classified them as a mediocre program. That's what they said. So I thought, well, guys, if they're a mediocre program, what in the world are we?
Well, right now they're struggling. And, Bob, we got to let you go. Thanks for the phone call.
Compared to the history of Penn State and past teams.
Penn State had the issues off the field, deservedly so. There was a lot of upheaval in the program. In particular, you're on your second coach since that happened. But they also had scholarship limitations, and they were significant. And what you saw and what you've seen, if you watch Penn State the last couple of years, is their offensive line, which usually is draft picks. I mean, you're talking about draft picks at Ohio at Penn State when you talk about their offensive and defensive lines. They haven't had anybody who's worth a darn on that offensive line for a couple of years. They're getting Christian Hackenberg killed. He was better as a freshman than he is right now, because now he's so skittish with how much pressure he gets. He's always worried about it. He's scared. He's scared back there. We didn't scare him enough, even though we got 4 sacks on him.
He threw the ball.
He got more comfortable against us.
Well, he did.
He was overthrown. Exactly. Both teams threw the ball.
Who gets a lot more comfortable? The guy that's up 19-7.
Well, of course.
That's the guy.
But you're right. I mean, we looked at Diamond and IU, but Penn State did the exact same thing. Throw.
And to be fair, Penn State had a couple more drops, but Hackenberg was throwing 5 yards out, 5 yards over guys' heads.
Chucking it over.
Those aren't hard throws or hurried throws. That's a one-step timing play.
Up front, they're used to controlling things, just like Michigan always is and Ohio State always is. And right now, in the last couple of years, they have not been any good up there because of those scholarship limitations. They've been decent on defense, but heck, the starting defensive end for them, who's all Big Ten players, a walk-on. So he showed up without the mask in necessarily.
And Bill O'Brien got out of there, and he coaches the Texans. And speaking of defense, we'll have a little fun with the Texans' expense, their payroll. their MVP candidate, had one more, two more tackles than Dave did on Thursday night against 40.
See what I was doing? I was 40, running all over the place taking
40-year-old viral infection sick Matt Hasselbeck, J.J. Watt. Next person that tells me he's the best player in the league, you need your head examined. Best defensive player? I might listen. But he ain't the best player in the league, folks, and we'll tell you why next.
And we smartly blocked him with eight guys on every play, pretty much.
Which is legal. Any team can do that.
Absolutely.
Any team in the league can do that if they choose to do so.
Got to take a quick break. 333-2665 is the phone number. More Colts football when we get back from the break. Dave and Glass with you in the zone.
A real Mahoney.
All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on 96.1 and AM 1370, WGCL. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dramatic pause there as I collect my thoughts.
You should.
Heading towards 7:45 here as the pregame for the national broadcast of Monday Night Football. Pittsburgh at San Diego takes over tonight. Again, we'll have more NFL football Thursday night with Atlanta at New Orleans. 8 o'clock pregame on Thursday. We'll be back 6 o'clock Wednesday, and then Friday we're back to high school football as the regular season finale. The South Panthers, undefeated 8-0, 6-0 in Conference Indiana, try to make it 9-0 and 7-0 and win the conference outright against the Perry Meridian Falcons. 7 o'clock Chalk Talk, 7:30 is the kickoff on Friday night.
Update from Wrigleyville, Starlin Castro's just hit a hanging breaking ball 375 feet over the left field fence. To tie the game, that's right, tie the game, the unhittable, the unrunnable Jake Arrieta gave up two in the top of the inning, and the Cubbies waste a little time getting right back into it. 2-2, bottom of four, one out in Wrigleyville, series tied one game apiece. Kansas City beats Houston earlier today, and Toronto beats Texas, forcing game fives in Kansas City, in Toronto. That gets you caught up on your baseball for today.
All righty.
Ryan Schwarber's at the plate, so we'll let you know if he happens to find the jet stream again. He's already hit one home run today.
The Colts on Thursday night went down to Houston and won their third straight AFC South game, two of those on the road. So looking later down the line for the Colts, they've got three more left, two of which will be home. So that's kind of nice. They have that 3-0 lead on the rest of the division because that's the only way they're getting in the playoffs if they play the way they've been playing. Let's give Matt Hasselbeck right now all of the credit in the world for being ready to play at all when Andrew Luck has been out and to be doing it pretty darn well, especially when he had a viral infection or whatever Saturday night or Sunday night or whatever it was leading to Thursday. So, I mean, all the credit in the world to the 40-year-old backup quarterback.
Yeah, and I'm going to give Pep Hamilton some credit as well because he got his offense better balanced in this game. We killed him for not getting anybody running the football last time out. They did beat Jacksonville, Dave, by the skinny on the chinny, because Hasselbeck had to throw it 47 times. This time they ran it 30, passed it 29. Boy, that balance is awfully good when you get production out of it. You can run it balanced as much as you'd like and not get anything out of it, as maybe we saw Indiana do on Saturday. But on Thursday, Frank Gore looked like Frank Gore. He didn't fumble in a big spot, didn't cost the Colts any points. And Matt Hasselbeck, for the first time, anybody, Hasselbeck or Andrew Luck, finally used Andre Johnson in a way that made sense. Mm-hmm. He had six catches on the game Thursday night. He had six catches on the season entering it. He caught two touchdown passes, but they weren't asking him to do stuff. They were asking him to go sit down. They were asking him to get big and take advantage of his physicality.
Comeback routes,
not running goal routes or deep corners or deep posts. It looked like that they finally figured out how that was going to work, and they got it right. In Hasselbeck, we joked about giving only averaged 6 yards a pass in his first game. Well, now he's up to 7.3 yards a pass. So, obviously, he's gotten more comfortable. The way they use the offense was more comfortable. And, again, go ahead and count them up, Dave. Count up how many guys caught passes again.
Eight guys with catches.
That number always blows me away because of the weapons the Colts have. But the point you made before we went to the break was excellent as well. You had Dwayne Allen back, and Dwayne Allen might not catch as many balls as you'd like, but his job and one of his main jobs on that game was to make sure to to stay in and chip J.J. Watt and make a nuisance of himself. I don't care that he didn't – what he caught. He caught one ball for 21 yards. Fantastic. Yeah. One target, one catch.
Well,
but that was his main focus, was slowing down that pass rush.
333-2665 is our phone number. You talked about J.J. Watt going into the break. Look, they tried a lot of things on J.J. Watt, and they kept him off balance. He didn't know where people were coming. There was one particular play where they had the tackle on J.J. Watt one-on-one, but what they did at the snap is they ran the running back at him and hit him in the teeth.
Yep.
And then as he turned to recapture himself, he started upfield and got absolutely punched in the mouth by the tight end on that side also and knocked on his butt.
Three men to
because
do block
it,
one.
Exactly. The one guy who can ruin everything in a big fat hurry is J.J. Watt. There was one play where they committed two blockers. Now, those two blockers were both tight ends, but the ball was out quickly enough that J.J. Watt didn't have time to get past the two guys, even though maybe they aren't your two ideal pass rushers.
And how good was it? He hit 40-year-old Matt Hasselbeck once.
Yeah.
One time. He had two tackles. Both were assists. Clowney had one tackle for a loss, one quarterback hit. Who else is a big player on that defense? The linebacker.
Well, they got Wilfork, but he's not much of a pass rusher.
Cushing did nothing on the quarterback, but did lead him in tackles. The point was the Colts' offense was balanced to keep their defense off balance.
Yeah.
You didn't know which way it was coming. You didn't know where it was coming from. And, Dave, let's be fair. Hail Mary is the only reason Houston's in this game at the end of the half, because Greg Toler has no idea what planet he's on.
I don't know what that was all about.
But again, the Colts were cruising comfortable, and it didn't look like that defense that everybody talks about in that player. Again, 40-year-old Hasselbeck, 32-year-old Frank Gore, that's the fulcrum of your offense on the road, short rest, fourth game in a row on a Thursday night on the road.
Well, let's be
fair.
And
a convincing victory.
They hadn't used those two guys very much, certainly the week before, so a little fresher. Look, I've said it before. When you're going to go after free agent guys, it concerns me that you're going after all 30-year-old guys. And not all of them, but in particular, Andre Johnson, Frank Gore, Kendall Langford's a little bit younger than that, but Trent Cole, these are all guys, DeQuell Jackson the year before, Dwight Lowry, Mike
veteran
Adams,
players.
These are all veteran guys, but they don't have a lot in the tank for a long period of time. I love Frank Gore and I love Andre Johnson. You saw great contributions from him this week. You can't think that these guys are suddenly going to be phenomenal all the time. You've got to have other guys step up. And outside of Dante Moncrief, they really haven't had a lot of guys on that offense that kind of somewhat unexpectedly stepped up. And T.Y. Hilton got paid a whole bunch of money, and I know he's banged up, but he's not producing the way you need T.Y. Hilton to produce either. So there's still some question marks here, no question. The first one is, can we please get Andrew Luck healthy? Because guess who's coming to town a week from yesterday? The Patriots. And you know they're angry and they're kicking the crap out
of
everybody.
You're the math guy. Go back to Jacksonville on the 4th.
Who got them on the Deflategate stuff?
The Colts did.
So they're not going to be right.
It's 14 days. The Colts played last
11 days.
Colts' last game for Andrew Luck was the Tennessee game on the 27th of September. Mm-hmm. So he had the last 3 days of September off, and he'll have everything off until the 18th.
Well, he should be well rested.
3 weeks, and that's pretty strong.
Luckily, the rest of the team should be with 11 days off
as well. But the Colts come out in the second half and kill the game off. I mean, it's 13-10. Houston's got some momentum with the Hail Mary. What do the Colts do? They come out. Minute 58, boom, touchdown, 20-10, and then it's all chasing from Houston. And you know what? How'd the Colts defense do? Kind of got lost in the shuffle. Everybody's excited about Hasselbeck. Everybody's excited about Frank Gore. Everybody's excited about Andre Johnson. T.Y. catches a great pass to ice the game. Colts defense, Dave. I didn't hear Arian Foster go for 156 yards.
No, they did not run the ball.
The changing quarterbacks.
And Foster, of course, got hurt also.
They abandoned ship after a quarter with their quarterbacks.
Yeah, that didn't
Bill O'Brien, Penn State former genius, who cost them a ball game at Indiana, but we won't pick on him for that today. So it was a very solid performance across the board, and again, maybe one hiccup there or two hiccups there, but I thought the Colts played for a road game, Dave, going in knowing your quarterback's sick, you have no idea what's going to happen. The defense stood up and was counted, and that's what professionals do. They have to stand up and make plays.
You got two turnovers, and Houston had 13 penalties for 125 yards.
Thank
and
you.
That doesn't help anybody.
Don't cheat.
So you take advantage of that. And no, they played maybe their best ball on that Thursday night game, did the Colts.
Quick turnaround? Is that what it takes?
I don't know. We've gone into a couple of those with shaky situations before and said, how are they going to do this? And they seem to be all on the road.
You know what?
And yet they seem to come out of those in pretty good shape.
Where did the Colts seem to do their best work? and throw New England out of this, the Colts seem to do their best work when they are kind of adversity challenged, backs against the wall type stuff. It
NFL
seems like
seems
when,
to be like that.
Yeah, and it's interesting how that works because these guys all do get paid. But you, that's why Matt Hasselbeck's getting $3 million a year.
What if they get paid more if they're coming off a loss?
Hmm,
well, they're coming off two wins, so I don't know that.
Three
hey, we got to take another quick break. 333-2665 is our phone number. Dave and Glass with you in the zone. All right, you're back in the zone with Dave and Glass on News Talk 96.1 and AM 1370 WGCL.
Who'd you say the Colts were playing the next game?
You've heard of them.
The
Patriots.
Angry. Yeah, the sea was angry that day, my friend.
Yeah, it will be on Sunday night. We'll have it for you, though.
Yes, we
here
will.
Here on WGCL, as they are on NBC Sunday night, so the whole world gets to see New England and what they want to do to the Colts. We'll see how the Colts compete in that game.
Well, I like the chances a little bit better with a rested Andrew Luck.
Well, absolutely.
And instead of bacterial infection, Matt Hasselbeck, age 40.
I don't think I'd like that very much.
No.
All credit to Matt Hasselbeck. I mean,
yes,
seriously.
He should have all
the
credit.
Tough situation anyways to have to fill in for Andrew Luck without an offense that's really cruising at much of anything.
And the offensive line was so problematic. We just told you in the last segment how Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt didn't affect the game at all. So they get credit as well.
Well, let's throw the tight ends in there.
Everybody.
Let's throw the running backs in there because they get a lot of looks for that defensive
line.
And
they could have done that in weeks past to protect Luck as well, so they have learned and gotten better. Hopefully that's the mantra leading
forward. Well, you're going to game plan for J.J. Watt. You're going to game plan for Clowney a bit. Certainly Vince Wilfork out of control a bit. You're going to work harder, I think, at those schemes because of that.
Have not let you score any points the last couple times you've played them, and you've scored. They've scored 100 on
you.
You've got to figure some of that out. But I don't hear any more about the general manager bickering with the coach in a three-game winning streak. Notice how that was more up front of it when it started
0-2.
And then everybody kind of is quiet about that. So I don't know if we're trying to sell hits or clicks or is that something that's really there. But the one thing that did come out today that is true from the words of Adam Schefter's Twitter is that the Colts have rumored to have approached Sean Payton. I don't know if you saw that today. That's Adam Schefter.
Really?
It was the Colts and the Dolphins, I believe. That's his inside
information. You mean the guy who has a job?
You mean the guy that has the
job? To fill a job that doesn't exist, that isn't open yet?
That's the Colts, but the Dolphins have an interim coach, so that does make some sense.
Yes.
So that's why I think it was those two. So if you look at Adam Schefter's Twitter account, that's the interesting part of it. So my point is, no, it hasn't died yet. It's just died in the local media because they're on to bright and shinier things. And that's not hardly surprising.
No.
It's easier to be spoon-fed. Practice today was closed, which is very strange for the Colts, so nobody knows if Andrew Luck was practicing or not.
Mm.
Chuck Pagano said that Hasselbeck still isn't feeling good about this. And the other interesting thing Pagano said, it's not a rivalry between the Colts and the Patriots, between the players and teams. It's a rivalry between the media. So interesting thoughts from Coach Pagano on Deflection Week. So that's
all right.
That's how that goes.
How about we go out there and compete?
How about
I'd love to say beat them, but I'm not sure we can even compete at this point.
I think at home you can. I think
you better
that home you can win the game. I think that the New England Patriots look good every year. They still lose two or three ball games. Why not this week? Luck should return. He should be spry, chomping at the bit, and that's interesting. And we'll probably
the Patriots are coming off of getting Tom Brady sacked five times
against
so it's
the
not
Dallas
like,
defense. It's tasty.
Yeah, not that infallible.
But
although
Dallas's
again,
offense is terrible.
Well, and the Colts defense hasn't really created a ton of pressure. That's one of the problems. Is Robert Mathis is still not really cemented himself. Is back
after
in there.
An Achilles
Trent
and 10
Cole,
surgeries.
Yeah.
That's not. I don't
Trent
think
Cole's
do
been
that.
Banged up. Jonathan Newsom is kind of running circles around himself at this point in time.
The Colts secondary
so
needs
harder.
To be healthy, and whoever's going to be covering Gronkowski needs to be healthy and dialed in on that. That's the easy way. We'll do more on that coming up on Wednesday.
Well, unfair to say Clayton Gathers was drafted to be the Gronk stopper, but you imagine he'll get a little bit of time
get
out there
at
trying
it.
To do it.
Interesting thoughts from the NFL weekend. The Bengals are 5-0. The offensiveless Denver Broncos are 5-0.
Well, how about let's stick on the Bengals for a second because a hell of a comeback led by Andy Dalton at home against at least a pretty good defense in Seattle. Their offense is shaky right now. But you're right. I mean, Cincinnati, everybody says Andy Dalton is no good, and everybody says Cincinnati's just going to lose in the end, and maybe they will. But that's a big, big win at him to come.
5-0. Easier
like
to do it at home, no question about it. And then, but again, Peyton Manning, the story for the 5-0 Broncos because of the numbers he's not putting up.
Mm-hmm.
The Atlanta Falcons steal one in overtime at home, pick six. They are 5-0. And let's have a big hand for the Detroit Lions. For the eighth time in the last, 25 years, they will be the final team to win a game in an NFL season.
And they're still talking about a play in Seattle that nobody really ought to be talking about.
How about being at home down 28-0 against the Cardinals?
Right.
How did that play affect your first quarter?
Exactly.
And any of that. So the NFL, never a dull moment. And the week number five wraps up tonight.
Yep. Pittsburgh at San Diego, coming up here in just a couple minutes. So don't go anywhere, folks. And we will be back with you Wednesday to wrap up tonight and look forward to the next football weekend. So we'll talk to you Wednesday. You've been in the zone.